This program is made possible by the giving of the God Called Partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and here I am at my desk in my studio. And what a blessing that I can come to you from here in Moscow, Russia. Technology has changed everything, and I really am coming to you today from Moscow. This is my studio, which my partners helped me to build. And I want to say thank you to all of my partners for everything that you do. But this week, we're going to begin a brand new series called Arm Yourself for the Fight. You say, what kind of fight? Well, that's what you're going to find out today. But this is a 5-part series. It comes with a study guide that is loaded with everything in the series so that you can read it while you're hearing or seeing the series. And we're offering you the green volume of the RIV. That's volume number 2. Volume number 1 was James and Jude, but now you can get volume number 2, which is 1st and 2nd Peter. It's a parallel study Bible for people of faith. And if you haven't gotten yours yet, why not? You need to order yours because this will really open the scriptures to you. Right now, Denise is reading the RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter. And this morning, I caught her crying. And I said, Denise, why are you crying? She said, Rick, these footnotes have so deeply touched me. Wow. And I believe they're going to touch you. It is just a treasure, and it's all here for you. But you can order all these things by going online or by giving us a call. And I want you to reach for your Bible, because today we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 11, and we're going to talk about being armed for the fight. You say, what kind of fight? Well, I'm going to tell you, but first, remember that we want to pray for you. And if you need prayer about anything, you can reach out to us. We will release our faith, and we will ferociously pray for you and believe for Jesus to do whatever needs to be done in your life, and He will do it. But just call the number on the screen or send us an email, and we'll begin to pray for you. But let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, and I'm going to begin by reading in the King James Version, which says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." This week, I'm going to talk to you about arming yourself to fight against the flesh. Now, people are tempted with different things. Some people are sexually tempted. Some people are tempted to be easily offended. Some people are tempted to overeat. There's all kinds of temptations. My temptation is a particular fast food chain that they recently built very near my house. Why did they do that? And I have to really fight the desire to go there and eat what I shouldn't eat. But there are all kinds of things in life that we need to abstain from. There are certain TV programs that are negative, and you should not watch them. There's a lot of junk on YouTube, a lot of negativism, people that are critical of the church. It's not good for you. You need to abstain from it. And when we come to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, we find that Peter's readers are in the fight of their faith. They are really in the fire for their faith, and they don't need to be dealing with fleshly temptations while they're trying to survive at the same time. And so Peter writes to them, and he says to them, and he says to us, listen to it again in the King James Version. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." But I want to read it to you in the RIV, which is not a translation. It is an interpretation that reaches into the Greek text. It grabs all the flavors, all the nuances, and pulls it into the verse for a broader understanding. And here's what the RIV says of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. "Beloved, I call you that because it's the only word I know to express how deeply I love and cherish you." And then he adds, "I personally plead with you as sojourners and temporary travelers with no connection to this world, but are merely passing through on the way to your final destination, to deliberately refrain from fleshly, low-level desires that combat and wage warfare against the mind, the will, and the emotions, and intentionally put distance between yourself and those base desires. Now, that is quite an interpretation, but why is the RIV interpreted this way? And let's begin at the beginning of the verse. And the King James Version begins by saying, "Dearly beloved." And that's wonderful, but it misses so much, and I want to tell you why. As we see in footnote number 349, the words, "beloved, I call you that because," it's the only word I know to express how deeply I love and cherish you, are from a form of the Greek word agape. And the word agape describes the admiration one has for an object of beauty. The viewer is so taken by the object that as he gazes upon it, this agape in his heart causes deep admiration and appreciation to come out of his heart because he is so moved by what his eyes behold. In fact, the observer experiences a loss of words to express what he feels because he's taken with the beauty of that object or that person. And here, Peter uses this word to mean we as believers should view one another with deep appreciation, awe, and wonder. Every person you know at church that is born again and washed in the blood is a miracle. Every one of them. Even the ones that you struggle with, or maybe there's someone that you don't particularly enjoy, even they are a miracle. And my friends, we need to look upon each other as the miracles that we are. We have been created brand new in Christ Jesus. And here, Peter uses a form of the Greek word agape to express that he loves them so much he doesn't even know how to say it. And the RIV says it like this, "Beloved, I call you that because it's the only word I know to express how deeply I love and cherish you." Do you feel that way about the people at church? That's the way we are to feel about other believers. But then he goes on in the RIV and he says, "I personally plead with you." The King James Version says, "I beseech you." But again, the RIV says, "I personally plead with you." And that is explained in footnote number 349, which says, the word plead is interpreted from a form of the word parakaleo. The word para means to be alongside. The word kaleo means to call. But when you compound these two words together, it means to come along somebody else in order to urge them, to beseech, to beg, or even to encourage them. And it was a word often used by military leaders or by commanding officers before they sent their troops into battle. This word plead or the word beseech. Rather than shield the troops from the reality of war, the commanding officer would summon them and speak straightforwardly to them about the potential dangers of the battlefield. The soldiers were soberly informed by their leader that bloodshed, injury, and even death could be encountered as they fought their battles. And a good commander wouldn't ignore these dangers or pretend they didn't exist. He knew it was his job to prepare the troops for war, so he would beseech, encourage, exhort, plead with, and urge his troops to stand tall, throw back their shoulders, look the enemy straight on, eye to eye, and face their battle with steadfast courage. And now Peter uses this very word to urge his readers and me and you to courageously stand steadfast against fleshly lusts that war against the soul. And by using this word beseech, which is translated, "I personally plead," it's taken from the Greek word parakaleo, Peter is warning us that each one of us have to deal with a battle with the flesh. Rather than ignore this, he's telling us very straightforward, hold your head high, throw your shoulders back. It is just something you need to deal with and overcome. And then the King James Version goes on to say, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. But this word strangers is really, really very important. And the RIV translates it as the word sojourners, sojourners. So let's look at this footnote 352 to understand why it is translated sojourners. It's really very important. The word sojourners is translated from a form of the word paroikos, a word that pictures foreigners or strangers. That's you and me. We're foreigners, we're strangers in this world. But here, it depicts foreigners or strangers who are living in a land that is not their own. It depicts those who live in tents and who move from place to place, or sojourners, temporary dwellers, non-citizens, or aliens with limited local rights. Wow. This word describes an individual who lives among the citizens of a nation, but he's not a citizen himself. He's a foreigner or an alien in that nation. And although he may have received the legal right to live there, he doesn't have all the same rights to participate in society as does a legal citizen. And by using this word sojourner, which is the word stranger in the King James Version, Peter is telling us to remember, we're just passing through. We may have the rights to temporarily live here, but we do not have the rights to participate in everything in the world around us. There are some things we are to refrain from. And then he goes on and adds the word pilgrims in the King James Version, but the RIV translates it temporary travelers with no connections to this world, but who are merely passing through on the way to your final destination. That is so good that I want to read it one more time. Temporary travelers with no connections to this world, but who are merely passing through on the way to your final destination. You know, Denise and I have a beautiful home here in Moscow. I love it. And every morning when I get up and I walk to the place where I pray, I thank God for my home. Do you thank God for your home? You need to be grateful for the home that God has given you. And when I walk through my house with my cup of coffee, I always stop when I get to one particular room and say, Lord, thank you so much for giving us this home. What a privilege, Lord, that you've given us such a nice place to live. But my friends, it's a tent. We're foreigners. We're strangers. We're sojourners. We're just living in tents. This is a temporary residence. And as wonderful as our homes are, and as wonderful are all the things that you enjoy in your personal life, all of it is just temporary because we're on the way to another destination. And when you keep that in your mind, you become less connected to material possessions. But let's look at this, because these words, temporary travelers with no connections to this world, but who are merely passing through on the way to your final destination, is explained in footnote number 353, which importantly says, listen to this. These words are from a Greek word that describes, are you ready for this? One who comes from a foreign country into a city or land to reside there, and thus he is a foreigner who's living in a land where he has no natural connections. You know, the older that I grow in the Lord, I feel more disconnected to the world around me because heaven is our real home. It's interesting that today in the church, there's not a lot of talk about heaven. People talk about the present, how to overcome enemies, how to overcome the devil, how to overcome this, how to overcome that, how to have victory in this, how to have success in that. But friends, we need to remember that even if we have success in every sphere of life now, it's just temporary because we're travelers passing through. We really have no natural connections here. Once we are born again, we're on the way to heaven. And the King James Version calls us pilgrims, but the RIV again says temporary travelers with no connections to this world, but who are merely passing through on the way to your final destination. And then in the King James Version, Peter says abstain from fleshly lusts. But the RIV says it a little different. It says deliberately refrain from fleshly low-level desires. And the words refrain from are explained in footnote number 354, which says, the words refrain from and intentionally put distance between are an interpretation of a form of the Greek word apeko. Now, I love this word. The word ap is from the word apo. It carries the idea of distance. The word echo means to have. When you put the two words together, it means to deliberately put intentional distance between you and something else. And here, it means to deliberately withdraw from, to stay away from, and to put distance between oneself and something else, or to intentionally abstain. This word was a well-known word in the ancient world, so all who read or heard this message understood that Peter was telling them to put distance between themselves and the fleshly lusts raging all about them. My friends, there are some things you don't need to look at. There's some things you do not need to entertain. There's some things on TV that you ought not to be watching because it's not good for your soul. And in fact, Peter goes on to say that these fleshly, low-level desires combat and wage warfare against the mind, the will, and the emotions. The word fleshly is explained in footnote number 355. It is a translation of a form of the Greek word sarkikos, a word that describes the impulses, cravings, and desires of the carnal flesh, or those things that appeal to our lower natures. And the word low-level desires are from a form of the Greek word epithumia. Listen to this. It is a compound of the preposition epi and thumos. The preposition epi means over and is used here as an intensifier. That's very important. And the word thumos depicts passion. But when compounded to form the word epithumia, which is used in this verse and is translated low-level desires in the RIV, it pictures one so overcome by some type of low-level fleshly desire that he gives himself completely over to it. And Peter urged his readers to bravely resist the temptation to be lustful or to overcome the sin that ensues through a lack of resistance. There's some things we're supposed to fight. We're supposed to put distance between ourselves and those things that tempt us. And in fact, Peter says those things, listen to RIV, combat and wage warfare against the mind, the will, and the emotions. And the words combat and wage warfare. What a great interpretation of this Greek word, stratiomai. Now listen to this. The words combat and wage warfare are a form of the Greek word stratiomai, which means to contend, to make war, to fight, to engage in warfare, and it is where we derive the word strategy. That's very important. This word implies one must not only engage in warfare against the lust of the flesh, but he must do it strategically, as the Holy Spirit shows him how to wage warfare against fleshly lusts. It is related to the word stratos, which is the word for an encamped army. And here we find the flesh wants to wage warfare against you. And my friends, you've got to strategically figure out how to abstain from fleshly lusts and to resist them and overcome them. And you can. My friends, you are armed for the fight. You've got the blood of Jesus. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got the Word of God. You've got everything you need to combat and wage warfare against these things that are trying to take you down. And in fact, the verse goes on to say, they're fighting against the mind, the will, and the emotions. And the word against is explained in footnote number 358, which says the word against is a translation of the word kata, which here carries the idea of domination, subjugation, or a conquering force, and shows the commitment and full might that one must put into dominating, subjugating, and conquering the effects of the flesh. To incapacitate the lust of the flesh requires that one be committed to engage with all of his or her might with a strategy to keep fighting and fighting until the opposition of the soul is conquered. My friends, fleshly lusts are fighting against you. You've got to turn it around. You've got to develop a strategy about how you're going to overcome them. And the verse goes on to say that they're fighting against the mind, the will, and the emotions, which is explained in footnote number 359, which says the words mind, will, and emotions are from a form of the Greek word psuche, a word that speaks of the mind, the will, and the emotions, and is the root for the word psychology. Peter's use of this word at this juncture means the real battle to conquer the flesh is conducted in the mind, the will, and the emotions. And whether the flesh is conquered depends on the fight that occurs in that realm. It all happens right here. You've got to make a decision that you're going to overcome rather than be overcome. It is a decision. And now when we come to this verse, Peter says, first of all, dearly beloved, he said, you have to realize that you're just strangers. You are sojourners. Do not be connected to the world that is around you. You need to understand the world is trying to take you down, and therefore you've got to decide. Rather than be overcome by it, you're going to resist it, and you're going to overcome fleshly temptations that are trying to attack you in your mind, your will, and your emotions, and that if you're going to overcome them, you've got to win the battle right here in your head. You've got to make a decision. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not eating that anymore. I'm not looking at that anymore. You've got to put space between yourself and those things that want to take you down. Wow, we have covered a lot today, and we've got more to cover in the next program, but I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you. Someone asked a very important question. How do I hear God, and how do I know the will of God for my life? Well, that's an important question, and if you're asking that question, it's a good question to ask, because your total success in life depends on you knowing the will of God for your life. I have a series called How to Know the Will of God. It's one of the best series I have ever taught. You ought to go online and order it. But my friends, God will speak to you very clearly through His Word. God will speak to you by His Spirit. God will speak to you through your pastor as he preaches at church. God will speak to you through the voices of authoritative people in your life, and God may even speak to you through circumstances. God has a variety of ways of speaking to us, and when all these things begin to line up, it's like a green light giving you the go. But my friends, you can learn how to know the voice of God and how to know the will of God for your life.
This week, you can order all Renner products for 25% off. Take advantage of our cyber sale and stock up on powerful teaching resources this holiday season. It's the perfect time to invest in your spiritual growth or bless someone you love. Do you feel ill-equipped to win the battles you're facing in life? In his new five-part series, Arm Yourself for the Fight, Rick Renner uses biblical wisdom to teach you how to overcome inner struggles, resist destructive thoughts, and live with purpose in this world. Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $11, this teaching will help you live out your God-given purpose and walk in victory over fleshly desires. In addition to this series, you can order the Renner Interpretive Version, 1st and 2nd Peter, a parallel study Bible that presents the scriptures in contemporary English based on the original Greek text. Don't miss this special offer. The bundle of the series, Arm Yourself for the Fight, starting at just $11, and the Renner Interpretive Version, 1st and 2nd Peter, for $38. Call the number on your screen now or visit renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and today I'm in the Tulsa office, and this is the conference room or the boardroom. This room is used all the time for strategic planning for the gospel and for the teaching of the Bible, which we're taking around the world. And all around this room, we have scriptures about wise counselor and wise planning. Of course, we have the Great Commission on the screen behind us, and we even have photographs of all the board of directors of Rick Renner Ministries, who are real board of directors and regularly provide us with the most wonderful godly counsel and advice. But right now, we're in the process of paying off this facility in Tulsa. And guess what? We've already paid off 81% of the whole project. And that is just amazing. If you consider how long we've been doing this, it's really not that long. But because of the grace of God and because of people like you, we are really making significant progress. And when we're finished paying off the debt on this building, it's going to release all these finances to help us take the teaching of the Bible further to the ends of the earth. So if you want to become a part of the giving team, we welcome you. And together we're going to remove this debt
and release finances to go further in taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth.
Well, my friends, we have covered a lot today, and we've just begun the brand new series, which is called Arm Yourself for the Fight. And I'm really not talking about a fight with the devil. I'm talking about a fight with the flesh and with the things that surround your life. You've got to decide you're going to overcome your environment and not be overcome by it. And the battle is won in the mind, which is what we have covered today. But we're going to come back tomorrow and pick up right here. It's really going to be good. But please order this, and please order the study guide that goes with it. And remember that right now we're offering you the green volume of the RIV. That's volume number 2. It's the green volume. And it is 1st and 2nd Peter. It's a conceptual interpretation of the Greek New Testament with footnotes and commentary. You will devour it. It will open the Scriptures to you in a remarkable way. But you can order all these things by calling that number on the screen, or you can just go online. And please, when you reach out, whether you order anything or not, we want to pray for you, so let us know how to pray. If there's anything you're facing, maybe there's a temptation that you're struggling with, you just wish you had somebody to pray with you about it, call that number or send us an email. And we will pray for the power of God to really give you what you need to resist that thing. And Father, we thank you right now that we are not just left to our circumstances, that you've given us the power of the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus. Lord, you've given us the promises of your word, everything we need to overcome the world around us. We embrace it, and we thank you for this. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, we're out of time, but I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with us, would you please let us know by going to renner.org/salvation? We would love to connect with you. Renner Ministries is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through every available media avenue to the uttermost parts of the earth. Discover the many ways you can help us make a difference in lives around the world with the Word of God. We invite you to partner with us in teaching, strengthening, and rescuing lives for the glory of God. Together, we can make a difference that will last throughout eternity.